quick update. Jonathan Resnick suggested, you know, why you was doing a major siyum on Tanakh and Bavli, and maybe Rishami also. So we signed up. There weren't too many things that were in Yanei Pesach, so I wanted to do Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag, Sholin V'Dorshin B'Hilchos HaChag, but we're learning Tehillim every single day, so there was plenty of that to sign up for. So we'll be participating in that as well. So we started to discuss the halachos of Kadesh yesterday, so we noted that you basically have to deal with two different factors. One of them is that you're making Kiddush, like any Shabbos and Yontif, and then you're dealing with the din of Dalet Kosos. So there's reason to make a distinction, at least superficially, between Kos number one and the subsequent three Kosos. The Kos number one being Kiddush, which is a din d'oraisa based on the Pasuk of Zachar, Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, which we extend to all of Yontif, and then we have the din d'rabbanan of Dalet Kosos. Then I pointed out, according to the Rambam, the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos has a d'oraisa aspect to it because it plays a role in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So yesterday we discussed, is there a preference for certain kinds of wines over others? So the traditional approach in the Rishonim was to privilege red wine because there was an aspect of Zecher Ladam. But I noted that despite the fact that that is the view, let's say, of most of the Rishonim, and the Gemara Nedarim says even if a person really doesn't like wine and it makes them sick, not God forbid very sick, a Cholam Mesukan, they'd have to have wine. That's the position of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. But Rabbi Soloveitchik felt, based on the Gemara, which says that the Dalet Kosos have a din of Cheros, that it should really be based more on what a person enjoys. So a person enjoys white wine more, so that would be acceptable. So grape juice is a debate. There are those that say, no, it really has to be yain. It has to be something that fits the Pasuk. V'yayin is samach l'vavenosh, because it has some alcohol content. So grape juice wouldn't be acceptable. But many of the poskim, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and others say that one can use grape juice, and Rabbi Soloveitchik felt certainly for children, women, that you could rely on grape juice as a matter of lechatchila. And of course, now we're very sensitized to issues of substance abuse. Anybody who alcoholism is a zakanas nefashos, a person who's an alcoholic can't drink anything. So they, without any question, should have grape juice. No questions asked about that. So pushing things a little bit further, I wanted to discuss the question of Chamra de Medina, which is something, let's say, besides wine or grape juice. Does that have any status when it comes to the Dalet Kosos? So the answer in brief is that yes, it does. The Ramah says, Misha ein lo yayin, somebody who doesn't have yayin should use Chamra de Medina, an accepted beverage of the particular country. So the question is, what exactly are the parameters of this Ramah? And how would you weigh it against another factor? How would you weigh it against, let's say, the leader of the Seder was able to have wine, and the Balei HaTosos at the beginning of Psachim, Arvei Psachim, deal with this issue, and they say, fundamentally speaking, it's good to be machmer to give every single person a Dalet Kosos, because the Mishnah says, Afilu ani shebi Yisrael, yifchasu lo mi Dalet Kosos shel yayin. But the fact is that if the leader of the Seder, according to Tosos, would have yayin, so they could help everybody fulfill their obligation of Dalet Kosos. So how would you weigh those two factors against each other? Let's say you only had enough yayin for one person, or Chamra de Medina for everybody. So during World War I, this is written up in Rabbi Soloveitchik's Haggadah, Siach HaGrid, which was written by his grandson. So the question came up in Chaslovich. So there wasn't enough wine to for everybody to have Dalet Kosos, but there was Chamra de Medina, whatever that meant exactly in Chaslovich. I don't know if it was... I have no idea what exactly constituted Chamra de Medina there on Pesach. I could guess the rest of the year, but on Pesach, obviously, it couldn't mean hard liquor made from grain. So I don't know what exactly they would have considered Chamra de Medina. And the question is, should they have the Seder with Chamra de Medina given to everybody, or should they just have the leader of the Seder, like Tosos, have wine? So what they figured in the end was that it didn't make such a big difference, because as we discussed yesterday, there are really two different aspects of the mitzvah of four cups. One of the aspects is l'sader es hadvarim al hakos, to break up the Seder into four different components. So you have Kaddish, you have Magid, you have Halal, you have Birkas HaMazon, and you have Halal. And each one of those four sections has to be punctuated with something to drink. So their interpretation, the interpretation of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the Rav's father, and the Briska Rav, was that's what the Ramah meant. The Ramah didn't mean that you could actually fulfill your obligation of drinking wine, what the Gemara calls Yidei Cheirus. Nobody thinks that you could get that through drinking Chamer de Medina, but he thought that there was some status to breaking up the Seder into four different components if you use Chamer de Medina. And likewise, if the leader of the Seder is using wine, so it's the same difference. So he's able to help everybody fulfill their obligation of punctuating the Seder into four different parts, but he's obviously not able to drink for everybody, so people would only fulfill the aspect of the Arba Kosos that the Gemara calls Yidei Dalad Kosos Yatza, but Yidei Cheirus Lo Yatza, that one hasn't fulfilled one's obligation of experiencing liberation. So I think in the end, so they just said that because of the Kiddush factor, we know that Kiddush has to be Al Hayayin. You're not talking about Shabbos Day, we're talking about the nighttime Kiddush has to be with Yayin, so they said it was better to go that way. Better not to give every single person Chamer de Medina and just have the leader of the Seder use Yayin, because that way you'll account for the Daraisa of Kiddush, Zachreihu al Hayayin. That's what they decided in the end. So again, the Ramah does mention Chamer de Medina and a Shas HaTchak, but the interpretation was that doesn't really cover all your bases. That only covers one aspect of the Arba Kosos, which is to separate the Seder into four different components, but that does not account for what we call Yidei Cheirus Lo Yatza. Okay, so God willing, tomorrow we'll talk a little bit more about Shiurim, about what exactly constitutes a kos, how much a person has to have, what the definition of a revius is, and of course here we're going to run into the Daraisa Derabanan issue again. The more that you think it's Daraisa, the more that you want to be Machmir, in the Daraisa, Suffolk Daraisa L'chumra, if we're not exactly sure, let's say, how to measure a revius, so we're going to be Machmir in the Daraisa, and make it on the Derabanan. So it could be that for the first kos, you're going to try to go for a bigger shear than for the last three kosos. The first kos, again, because it has that double component to it, where it is one of the Arba Kosos, but it's also Kiddush, so Kiddush should be the Daraisa aspect. So again, people who have health concerns or whatever it is and are trying to, minimize their amount of consumption. So it's very important to be aware of these things. So God willing, tomorrow we'll discuss exactly, what the proper proportions are when it comes to the mitzvah of Kiddush in the context of Dalad Kosos. We'll hold it up here and we'll continue on with Maariv, followed by Tehillim for a number of relatives of individuals in our congregation who are very sick right now. Okay. Sasi, Arvit?
Okay. No problem. Can you hear me?
Perfectly. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Thank you.